Welcome, one and all, to Pop a la Carte, episode 125, because it will come after 124, which I have not posted yet. Yay! This is a special Asian Drama Corner edition, in which Angela and myself, Tatiana, will talk about all Asian drama-connected things. I'm here with
me, the person Angela. I just said.
Sorry. Exactly. No, that's all right. It's just the two of us, so let's go for it. We're going to start with, I think we can just start with the Pachinko news, because I may as well get that out of the way. It's newsy. And then we'll move into upcoming or current GL or Women Who Love Women dramas that we would love for people to check out or be on the lookout for so that they can get more support.
So, slightly unfair to put Pachinko here in the Asian drama cast because technically an American drama.
It is an American drama, but there are famous Asian drama actors in it, namely Won and Ho, who, as I have said in a previous drama, what? In a previous podcast, I mentioned that he the Army Hammer of K-drama. No, I didn't. I talked shit about Hammer, and now I'm telling you that Lee Min Ho is the Army Hammer of K-dramas. Because he is very well-respected and well-known and popular, but I don't know why, because he is a vortex of charisma and chemistry.
He is actually somewhat charming to me in Eternal Monarch for the first time in over 10 years.
That's
so,
you know what? That's the post-military. The post-military glow will do that to you.
Golf.
You know what I'm saying? Not a good drama.
A little golf clap. Yeah.
I was sitting there watching Eternal Monarch, and I was like, you know what? Like, and some of this is the character. But the difference, I don't know. I would rather compliment Lee Min Ho than Kim Won Suk. Like,
There you go. It's
the sad state of affairs here. But he is going to be in Pachinko, and the problem is I did not read Pachinko, so I don't know anything about
I definitely want to read Pachinko, but I have not yet, so I'm in the same as you. We talked about it, like, a year ago, or whenever it was first announced. Chronicles the Hopes and Dreams of...
John has read Pachinko.
Oh, what do you think of it?
Actually a copy of Pachinko that I could read, and I never will. He thought it was good, and he was like, you should read this. And I was like, is it sad? And he's like, yes. And I was like, then I'm out. Like,
so it is not for you, is what we have learned. But yes, it is four generations of Korean immigrant family. Begins with forbidden love, journeys between Korea, Japan, and America. Tells the story of war, peace, love and loss, triumph and reckoning. So, okay. And also, apparently, there will be Korean, Japanese, and English sections of the drama.
Say, are we going to hope that Lee Min Ho is in one of the Korean sections? Because we heard a little bit of his English in
Airs. Yeah, it's not excellent. English, although, okay, English in Airs was horrible. Even the English from the random white people they picked up the street was not good.
It was like, could they, because Drama Fever, like, was a partner, like, financial partner in Airs. They could not have just, like, found somebody in their office. Yeah. I remember that. It was, like, one of the first dramas that they, like, invested some money in. And so they couldn't find somebody around the office to do any of those parts. No.
It's kind of tragic on all fronts.
I mean, like, he could, like, I mean, if it's a story about the diaspora and immigrants, he wouldn't have to have good English necessarily, and it would still be true to the character. So, the problem in K-dramas is where they always expect us to think these characters are, like, amazing in a language, or in some cases, theirs are, like, native speakers when they clearly are not. But, you know, the same charge could be leveled at many American shows, I'm sure, so... But I guess this is interesting for Lee Min Ho. I wonder when they're going to film this show and where. Are they going to film it in Korea and Japan and America? What are they going to do? Nobody knows. But maybe he'll do more American shows and less K-dramas, and I would actually be okay with that.
Yeah, it's a very ambitious project, at least, is what it seems like, so...
It should be. We're sitting here. We don't know what's the problem. We don't know anything about Pachinko because it's not actually an Asian drama. Therefore, we're like, we don't know. But it also sounds like we don't have a lot of info yet. They just have the cast. Like, that was the latest information. Curious if, like, since it says that it takes place over, like, Korea and Japan and America, if they will film in all three of those places, or just in one place, or what they're going to do. We don't know. They haven't said anything yet. So
we do not know. All we know is that it is based on a book that we have not yet read. And also that Apple TV has oodles of money, so if they wanted to, they definitely could go to all those places. Once they can film, of course. Obviously, right now, they cannot.
So...
So, yeah,
actually know a lot about Pachinko because it's not an Asian drama, so I don't pay attention.
We only know. I only wanted to be able to say that I think that Lee Min-ho sucks. But yes, I agree that he sucks much less in King Eternal Monarch. I think that's just a very chill role. There's not really much to, you know.
He's usually, literally just,
yeah.
I was sitting there like, this is the first time I've liked him in 10 years. Like, not actively, just been annoyed. I was like, this is a weird, because like, I didn't like him from Boys Over Flowers. I didn't like anything about him. I didn't like any of it. And then I did like City Hunter, and City Hunter was good for him. Like, although I think City Hunter was still early-ish in my K-drama watching. Like,
oh, okay,
it was only a year or two into it, so a stronger actor I think could have done even more with that role,
right? For sure.
But he was not actively bad. Like, he was good. And then I haven't liked him since. So I was like, oh, like I. But yeah, he's. I think it is because he's really chill, and because especially from a Kim Eun Suk drama, I'm like, then happy that we have a male lead like that.
Right.
It's unheard of for her. Like, they're big Descendants of the Sun vibes to me in terms of the relationship dynamics that the leads have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're on much more of an even footing, and they banter with each other a little bit. So, like, I'm glad. But it's like, yeah. I was telling my friend, I was like, it's hard to say, like, oh, yay, positive trajectory for her. Because, like, in terms of that, in terms of, like, the power dynamics and relationship dynamics between the leads, we had that in Descendants of the Sun in, like, 2015 or whenever it was. And then we had Goblin, and then we had Mr. Sunshine. So it's like... Just because it's good here does not mean I have any faith that she will continue in a positive upward trend.
Right, so. Right. It was a one-off. We don't know. We can't prove that it will change. Anyway, moving on to actual Asian dramas, we have many, or not many. I wish we had many.
Yes.
We have a few. GLs, or women who love women dramas, that are either in the works, potentially far off in the distance, or that have literally just started. So, Angela, if you would like to take that away.
The Hallmark, the first one, they threw the gauntlet, is Pearl Next Door, which is a spinoff of Game Boys, and it was also the only one that I have seen that's actively calling itself a GL. And I even feel weird using this term only because, like, I barely understand what separates, like, a BL. Like, to me, it's not just about it's two dudes in love. It's, it seems like there are other things. Because then technically any story that the predominant love story is between two men would be a BL. Like, it's this whole rabbit hole. So I don't know. But anyway, Pearl Next Door, it's a it's everything. Like, she is everything. And I have seen the writers and the production staff, they've all been really active on Twitter ever since, like, Game Boys was airing. And so they've been talking about Pearl Next Door a lot. And, like, I just read something from one of the writers. It was like, they filmed the pilot in August, and they scrapped it, and then they filmed it again, and they scrapped it. Like, they're really dedicated to getting it right. I saw, like, the writer of Game Boys talking about, like, when he was writing Pearl in Game Boys, that... he was setting out to specifically torpedo the very tropey, stereotypical ways that female characters are portrayed in BLs. When they were posting about and people were complaining about, like, just not like mad, but just like whining, like I was, about the weight. They were like, the reason why we announced the creation of Pearl Next Door as early as we did is because they, like, we didn't want her to be seen as just a side character in Game Boys, but as a leading character in her own right. And so we wanted you to know from the beginning that she wasn't just, like, here to be second fiddle to them.
Right.
So,
and that's good.
It was the first episode was amazing. Like, she, I mean, Adriana Soh, the lead actress, I mean, she's mm-hmm. so charismatic and perfect and amazing and adorable. And it's already, like, not pulling any punches. Like, it was, like, dealing with biphobia right out of the gate. Like, they
oh.
really seem so to, because they're really trying to tell, like, genuine own voices type stories. I think it's really important to them to do that. So it was, like, mm-hmm. this is sort of Pearl's journey. It starts about roughly midway through the first season of Game Boys. I think, like, mm-hmm. timeline-wise, that's where it is. And so it shows her, like, developing this crush on this old friend of hers that she's reconnected with through quarantine, Carlene. And, like, they were amazing. Like, I love, like, the thing about this company, Idea First Company, it was the same with Game Boys. The first episode mm-hmm. of Game Boys, like, barely 10 minutes long. You just love those characters instantly and feel like you've known them forever.
Wow. And this is on YouTube, right?
Yes, this is all up on YouTube.
Because I'm definitely going to jump right into Girl Next Door. Or Pearl Next Door.
I love her so much. I keep saying Girl Next Door. It's Pearl Next Door. I'm so mad about it. You know, it shows, and so I love them. I'm shipping it. I'm really happy. And then, like, mm-hmm. Pearl, very true to her character and who she is, as she's established her, is, like, tells her that she's into her. And, like, Carlene just, like, shoots her down, like, the most biphobic way possible. Like, especially... Oh. She's been, like, very flirtatious. Like, I've sat here and analyzed, like, every moment with my friends. And I was like, you know, the way that she said this and this and this and this 5 minutes ago, like, those were clearly flirtatious. Like, you didn't, because she was just very, I mean, because she would have had all of these legitimate reasons to be afraid and not be ready to, like, reciprocate feelings yet. Like, you could just mm-hmm. not reciprocate these feelings. You could be afraid of jeopardizing your friendship. You could be afraid of jeopardizing a friendship in the context of we're just feeling all these weird things because of quarantine.
Right.
You know, there's mm-hmm. a lot of things you could say. What you don't say is, I don't date straight girls. You're just confused. Mm-hmm. As mm-hmm. Pearl insists, I like you, that means I'm not straight. Being like, well, I don't date bi girls either.
Oh.
Yeah, so we're all
that's
like,
gonna be awkward.
We hate her now. But yeah. then Alex shows up at the, oh my god, like, I love it. Like, it's just so good.
So the ship is not the girl that rejected her.
No, the ship is with okay. Alex, who showed okay, up. Okay. I mean, they're gonna go in love triangle territory. And here's the other thing about, I mean, I'm basing all this on, like, my experience from Game Boys, is right. that they're going to give Carlene, they're probably going to give her a pretty good redemption arc, like, because they had this mm-hmm. like Otis. I think we complained about it on the podcast before, me and Camille. They had this odious, like, ex of Gav's show up, and you just hated him. He was, like, cartoons, you know, like, throwing stuff at him. And then he had mm-hmm. a mini redemption arc. And, like, not in so, like, not redemption arc as far as, like, you shipped him with Gav.
Right.
But just, of, like, him as a person you came to understand and, like, maybe forgive or whatever. And so I feel like you're going to go in that Carlene. And so it is really, I mean, because I appreciate, they want to bring this up right at the gate because this is such an experience that bi people have.
Mm-hmm,
like, right. I'm being gate kept out of either community.
Yeah.
So that they're, like, addressing this head on, but then they're probably going to have Carlene have to work. And they're going to probably use, you know, jealousy as a trope to get there. Like, Carlene then sees Pearl off with this other girl and then gets mad and that, like, but I trust them to do all of this well.
Right.
Wow, you just, like, Pearl's just so effervescent. I just want to experience her always.
Aww.
Like, I just love her so much.
She sounds great. I mean, she's definitely the character that I'm most, you know, am most excited about in general when you talk about Game Boys. So, I'm very, like, glad you got her spin-off.
The boys in Game Boys are very, very cute, too. Like, yeah. They're adorable, but, like, it's just, I mean, the gauntlet is really thrown down. Like, because mm-hmm. I know, you know, Thailand has had this thriving BL genre for years now, right? Or right. industry for years. And everybody's like, where are the women? Where are the women? Where are the women? Mm-hmm. And, like, Idea First, like, they were primarily a movie company. And then, you know, with quarantine, they were just like, Game Boys kind of happened because they were trying to figure out, like, what they could do with the resources that they had.
Right.
So it wasn't like they were necessarily, I'm not really familiar with their movies. Mm-hmm. that this was their first, what they called a foray into, like, again, this is where we're looking at BL as, like, a specific genre that means more than just two dudes in love, right?
Right.
So, like, not only this was their first foray into it, but before they were even done airing their first show, they, like, threw the gauntlet down, and they're like, we're gonna do GL now. And I'm like... and they're like, hold my beer. Like...
Well, hopefully, you know, hopefully it'll inspire more, because I definitely think that it's an underserved genre, and I know it's because they don't expect there to be an audience for it, right? But yep. It's still like, because they're like, well, BLs, the primary audience is women, right? So we're assuming that women don't want to watch women. And if men wanted to watch women, it would be a different genre.
I want to watch women. Huh? I'm like, I can ditch this, I can have love and not have men.
Yes. I support that. I'm like, what?
So the other one that I watched, mm-hmm. But then other ones that have since been coming are to reference Thailand. It's not a whole GL series itself. Boo. But the second season of Friend Zone has a lesbian couple in it.
Oh, okay. That's good.
And I trust this director pretty decently, mm-hmm. because he is the director of my beloved Friend Zone. He did for, like, Friend Zone was 2018, and then Three Will Be Free. Three Will Be Free was 2019, and now Friend Zone 2 is this year.
Nice.
The problem is that Friend Zone, I never really watched it, because it's just mostly about, like, couples fighting each other.
Right.
So, like, he does tend to do darker dramas. Like, I'm not entirely sure how I ended up with Three Will Be Free and love it so much, aside from the fact that she's got the polyship in it. But I think because the drama derives from, like, the darkness is not from the romantic relationships. It's from external, running away from the mafia, whatever stuff.
Right.
Whereas Friend Zone, the darkness is from these relationships. So I am, like, holding off on watching this, because I was like, if literally the only reason I would watch this was to see the lesbians and the things don't end well for the lesbians, then why am I here?
Right.
But they're using that word aloud, so that's exciting.
That is good.
Like, we're in the show, because that's our start. Bar.
Right, exactly. Baby steps.
It's currently airing, and my friends who are watching it, like, the lesbian couple is a very secondary, like, they have not had a lot of time. It took them a few episodes to debut, and then they don't have a big part in any of the episodes yet, but it is mm-hmm. something. And this drama is being made. It is by the GMMTV, which is, like, the biggest company that is making the BLs.
Right.
So it is a reason to maybe bump up a lot of views on this show, and then maybe they'll, like, not be so afraid of women. I don't know.
Fingers crossed.
You seem like the lesbian couple is relatively drama-free compared to everyone else, but that might be just because they have had less time than everybody
right.
else.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It doesn't end well for them. It's not going to be like they're the only ones that doesn't end. Like, this is what this whole show is like. Which relates to, now, the Indian, I don't know that they ever use the word GL with this.
Mm-hmm.
The Indian show, Women Loving Women. It is by Dice Media on YouTube. All the episodes are free to watch. It is season 3 of Firsts. This individual season doesn't have its own name. First is like a series. Dice Media's got, like, a lot of shows, and they've got, like, longer shows. Firsts is only, it's very short. Like, episodes are, like, 4 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only, like, 6 to 8 of them.
Okay.
Better believe that, like, because I just saw the trailer for this, and I was like, oh my god. And then when the episode dropped a few days later, and it was only 4 minutes, I was, like, ready to fight someone until I, like, went in and looked at the length of the episodes of the first 2 seasons.
And
I was
like, okay, they're all like this.
So if they're all this short, then it's fine. But it's only season 3 that is the, because each season is, like, a different couple.
Yeah, I see. I'm looking at the little, their website now.
They were super adorable. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine is mutuals with the writer on Twitter and says that she is queer as well.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Only written without, like, own voices experience is pretty clear in it. And it was just really cute. And they, like, what the writer manages to do in 4 minutes. like, in terms of the roller coaster that it takes you through. I mean, I didn't realize that the last episode was the last episode until it happened, and it felt slightly abrupt for me. But again, because I just didn't care about the first two seasons, they, again, this could all be like this.
Mm.
But it was really cute and did manage to touch on a variety of experiences that would both be, like, universal and also specific to, you know, a woman-loving woman couple in their situation. So it was very good, and so it's short and very easy to watch because it's like 6 4-minute episodes. Like, it's 20 minutes of your time. But it was really, like, it was very well done. So that happened, and then for the other two that we have less about, you and I have both heard rumors of a Korean GL.
Yes, I remember, like, there was a tweet and, like, the picture with, like, the leads. And, like, yes, this is coming soon. And everyone freaked out. And then that's it. We don't know anything else.
Like, I swear I saw a picture of, like, a table read with the leads on it. But I can't find a thing. So I don't know. But we're waiting. Like, we're here. I mean, I'm going to put another plug in for Strongberry again, but, like, if this is, I want to say that one of the things that I saw was that it's by the company who was doing Rare, Islinger, and Mr. Heart, and if that's the case, it is a slightly wider audience, although I don't know if those, do those go straight to Netflix in Korea? Like, they don't ever air on TV, do they?
Yeah, I feel like they go straight to some platform, yeah.
Wider than, you know, the indie ones have gotten, so.
For sure, for sure. I mean, like the, you know, the two, Mr. Heart and Where Your Eyes Linger, were very popular on Viki. And first, I think they were aired, you know, they were aired in TV in Japan. And yes, then they were aired on Viki first as a little miniseries, and then I guess they were released on a different platform in Korea, but also on Viki as a movie.
Yes.
So, which can so.
The crap out of me that they're doing that. Please. Decide if you're a show or a movie. I'm all excited that I think there's more, and it's just, no, it's just
not more. You want, there's not,
like,
more.
The next episode button, or do you just want it all in one piece? Like, which do you want?
I prefer the show version of it. First off, because I like the theme songs. But second off, because the movie version only has, like, an extra, like, couple seconds and a couple of scenes, so it's really not worth it in terms of, like, more content. And the music is different, and I think the music from the show is just better. So there you go.
Doing this, why are they wasting their time? But this might not even be the company that's making a GL, but I hope if they do, because Where Your Eyes Linger and Mr. Heart both really cute. So I hope it's them, but I don't care who it is, except that I would want it to be more mainstream, like, at least approaching it the way that these two were. And so then the other one that I just heard about the other day is this Chinese drama coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Called The Unknown, Legend of Exorcist, and I'm going to butcher the name, Legend of Exorcist Song Kui. And so that is a wuxia that will have secondary characters that will have censored romance-ish. So the censorship cover story is that the one character was a man in a previous life, so this is why she's like that. That's their, like, censorship explanation for this. And all I can say is that I have zero familiarity with the source material that this is based on, and I know next to nothing. I only know of the screenshots that I have seen, like the promo pictures that are very flirty, and they make me very happy. That's all I got.
Your happiness is all that matters to me. So I'm very excited.
It's supposed to start airing in December, and it's going to be 50 episodes, so we will check in like 6 months. When it's over, and see what has happened there, because they're a secondary couple and it is a historical drama, so this could end in lots of tragedy, and it's going to be censorship anyway, so. But there is, and it's the one actress who played the sister in The Untamed. Mm-hmm. She is the one who is the incarnated dude, but there are pictures of her doing very classic drama-y things, like holding up a swooning lady in a, like, oh, I've tripped and now we're holding each other romantically. There's a scene like that. There is a scene with her, like, she's got her finger under the one female character's chin, like, tilting, and she's, like, touching her hair. and I'm pretty into it, and that's something as well. So it feels like, I mean, none of this is enough, but from having, like, I feel like we've gone to nothing to, like, actually there are small things happening in lots of places right now.
Right. Which is good. Like, it's bubbling up. So hopefully that means that we're going
to, like, line up in support behind these small things.
Exactly. And then we'll get bigger things.
Which is why I, like, went and subscribed to this Dice Media on YouTube, even though I was like, now, you know, are you going to make me more women love women stories? Because I don't care about any of these other videos.
You're like, I have a specific need. The rest is good. Anyway, so does that close out the chapter of exciting ventures in WL and Women Who Love Women drama?
That's everything that I know about at the moment.
I'm very happy to hear all of that, and I look forward to more. Hopefully, we'll very soon have mainstream ones once we have learned how to appreciate the little things that we already get. So, yay! Whew. Meanwhile, I have been drowning in, like, just watching all, I've, like, put on hold all the older dramas I was watching. Because I started watching, like, 12 dramas live at once.
Why?
I don't know why! It's because, like, just my friends and I were like, no, we have to watch this one, we have to watch this one, we have to watch that one. And so, that is what we have been doing. The last old drama I watched was, I completed King Two Hearts. When I was in Texas with my friend, yes. So we watched King Two Hearts.
Really interesting when it came out.
Like, yeah, I mean, it was still really interesting. I really enjoy this little vision of, like, what if Korea was a monarchy, you know?
Yeah, no, I thought that was really, because, I mean, now there have been a few more things that have kind of done that. But at the time, yeah, like, if the monarchy hadn't been toppled, even if North and South are still separated, like, the relationship is better. I loved that one scene where, like, the king comes into the room, and the North Korean soldiers, like, they didn't care at all about the South Korean president. Like, they had no respect for him whatsoever.
Right.
The king was still their king. Like, I thought that was really cool. The villain is insane. He's batshit crazy.
Yes. The villain the villain was ridiculous. Like for the first half of the drama, I was like, can he just go because he was wasting my time? And then the second half, I was like, can he go because he's ruining everything I love?
His terror attack on Michigan?
This is so crazy.
What is this Michigan?
It was so crazy.
Team America in that drama. I was like, we deserve everything that's being portrayed right now.
This is true. This is true. But yeah, the chemistry was really great between the leads, between Lee Seung-gi and Han Ji-won. Is that her name?
Yeah, they were really good.
Yeah, I love them together. I'm so sad that the secondary couple got so screwed. It was very crash landing on you. Never will I root for a secondary couple in a drama about North-South Korean relations. Clearly.
I warned you about that. If what? I had known Chinking Two Hearts, that was my first experience of Cho Chung-suk.
Oh, really? And you know what? He looks exactly the same. That's how you age when you're unproblematic. I was like, all right.
That wasn't his drama debut, but that was his, like, breakout role, I would say.
Oh, okay.
The role that made him famous.
Nice. So, yeah, I think that there's, like, probably, like, it didn't actually make sense how they fell in love so quickly. But I don't care because their chemistry was so great that I was like, we're just going to skip that part and just believe this love story. So I support. Yeah, so it was really enjoyable. But as for dramas that I have recently completed in 2020, Lie After Lie just finished this weekend, and it was fabulous. I think Lee Yuri was the female lead, is her name. I just know that I was watching her in Father is Strange, and then I started Lie After Lie, and so I have not continued Father is Strange because I had 12 dramas going on at the same time. But her range is so crazy. She's so good. Like, she was, like, this, like, super meek and, like, abused woman in Lie After Lie who then has to, like, wise up and get her revenge, basically, but in a very sweet way. Like, at first I thought she was going to go batshit crazy, but she calms down after, like, 2 episodes, and then it's just, like, it could have been a family, like, I think it was originally going to be one of those melodramas, like, 100-episode shows is what I heard. either one of those like daily dramas that are 100 episodes or one of the Weekenders. But for whatever reason, they made it a miniseries instead. And thank God they did, because I don't think I could have survived 50 episodes. I don't know if I've already told you. Do you know what the drama's about?
I'm looking at it right now, because if anything that you say that I would watch, I'm going to add to my queue.
Okay. So, well, you know, you may have to be cautious, but it does have a happy ending. I'll tell you that right now. It had a happy ending. It's all about a woman who was accused or falsely accused of her husband's murder. So Lee Yuri was falsely accused of her husband's murder and then put in jail for 10 years and separated from her daughter. Okay, she gave birth in jail. Her, supposedly, the grandma, the mother of the man that she did not kill, was going to take care of the daughter. But then, you know, lo and behold, when she gets out, she learns that not only did the mother, the grandma not take care of the daughter, supposedly she had the child killed. So she's going to go insane, right? And murder everybody. Mm-hmm. But then, thankfully, it was literally the... I'm just going to tell it to you right now, because, obviously, you wouldn't want to watch it if you thought that the child was dead. But in the longest dramatic pause ever, it was so hysterical. Okay, so, like, this man, the man who was hired to kill the child, right, is confessing these things to Iyuri's character. Her name is Unsu. And he's like, yes, and so I had to drown the child. And then it's, like, dramatic pause. So dramatic pause that she like goes off to try to kill the grandma, and she has like a breakdown in the middle of the street, and then then goes to kill his son. Because the reason why he did all this is because his son is in a coma in the hospital, and the grandma CEO lady is like the one that's paying the bills or whatever, or basically threatening to kill him if she doesn't do what he says. And she's gonna go kill that son until finally old man catches up to her and is like, okay, I didn't finish my sentence. I did not do that. I gave your child up for adoption and made those people promise not to tell anyone. I was like, you couldn't have finished your sentence in the first place before she tried to murder everybody. But yeah, it was very, very funny to me. Anyway, thankfully, child's not dead. She finds out where the child is. Child had gone to, like, you know, a priest and a nun or whatever in some orphanage, and then was adopted by our male lead, played by Yeon Jung-hoon. I don't know anything about him. But he's a very nice man. In this, of course, because the world is very, very small, he was the journalist who was going to look up the truth about Iyuri's, you know, murder situation, because it didn't seem to add up. But then he was just sent off an assignment out of the country, and so he could not continue. And then he came back.
As one does,
yes. And then he came back and adopted her child without knowing it was her child. And so then her goal, right, when she realizes this, is, okay, I will seduce him, because now he's single. He had adopted her with his wife, but then his wife left him. She cheated on him and then left. So now he's like, well, now he's single, so I will seduce him, and then I will become my daughter's stepmother. And that is her goal. So it is fabulous. And it takes a little while to, like, actually, like, get to this premise, you know? I was like, yeah, I'll spend a little too long putting the pieces together. But once they do, it works out perfectly. Everything is great. Reply Mom is the evil CEO grandma in this, and she's so good at being evil. I cannot believe. I was like, what's happening? Why is she evil? I hate this. But she's really good at it. Little child is adorable. There's the stepmother, actually, I guess the adoptive mom / ex-wife is also here and, like, kind of annoying, but also, like, not really bad. She's a really bad mom, but she does love her child. So I do like that they do have that, like, you know, even though he adopted. Because a lot of times I feel like adoption is not treated very well in K-dramas and probably in Korea, because I'm sure it's a reflection of the society. But her, like, Jimin, the main guy, him and his family really, really love the little girl, Uju. And they really treat her like she's one of their own. And when they find out that, you know, no spoilers, but eventually they'll, of course, find out that Unsu is the birth mom. And then they, you know, it all feels like they're all of her family and not like, oh, well, the blood relation is more important or whatever. So I love that. And there you go. It definitely was less upsetting and dramatic than I thought it would be. It starts off super, super melodrama, upsetting. I'm going to cry now. But by, like, episode 2, it's not like that anymore. And then it works. By the end of it, it could almost be, like, a family drama. Family Weekender, except for a crazy CEO grandma. So there you go. But yeah. That one I definitely I suggest to everyone all the time. The one that I do not suggest to anyone ever is Alice, which also finished this weekend. And I think I talked to you about it when it first started.
Yes, and so now I have to go take it off of my watch list.
Remove it from your watch list, for the love of God. I am never have I been betrayed by a drama like this. I mean, not really, but it really was like, y'all aren't going to do the like mom in love with her son type of thing, are you? Like, that's not possible, right? Right? They basically did everything they could to make it possible, and then because it still was not possible, they just left it as like open-ended. What is this happening?
Open ending. Nobody wants an open ending where the mom is lonely or something.
Exactly. Like, no one wants this. This is so messed up. And also, it just totally threw. It had rules for time travel, and it was like, these are the rules. And then it just threw them out the window. So I was like, y'all don't care about anything. Very, very. It's not the dark it thinks it is. It wanted to be dark at the end. It very much failed. If you want to watch crazy incest time travel drama that's actually good, watch Dark. Don't watch Alice. The end. Let's see what else we've got that has recently ended, or else I'll just move on to what I'm currently watching. Stranger 2 finished. That's fine. I'm not like, I think that everyone who likes Stranger/Forest or Secrets, you know, or Secret Forest, because that's a billion names, will also like Stranger/Forest or Secrets 2. It has a really intricate plot, you know, based around the corruption of both the police and the prosecutors. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, I'm sure that things are like that sometimes, just like our police and law enforcement and, you know, judicial system are really messed up too. So if this drama can do something towards changing that, that will be excellent. I love Peiduna. She is so fun in this. She's like my favorite. I mean, she's definitely my favorite character in both seasons, but also she's the only one that really, I think, is like the most believable and rootable, I guess, of the characters. Because main guy is also fine, and he's like, you know, very, very devoted, like slavishly devoted to what is the right thing to do. But also, mm-hmm. there's that whole thing with like, oh, I don't have emotions. And since they don't ever delve into that, I'm like, what is the point of him not having emotions? This is not like relevant at all. It's just that someone every once in a while is like, he's weird. So I'm like, okay. But Peiduna is wonderful. And I love their dynamic in terms of her being the one who, like, translates his non-emotions into regular emotions. I think that's fun. So yay. However, I can't remember this dude's name. There's a dude who's, like, the second male lead of Stranger. And I've seen him in a lot of stuff. But I'm looking at his name right now because I cannot remember it. Lee Jun Hyuk. Yes. Do you know who Lee Jun Hyuk is? He was in 365, Repeat the Year, Designated Survivor. He was Sexy Secretary Man in Are You Human Too? There we go.
Yes.
Okay.
That guy. So, from City Hunter. Prosecutor from City Hunter.
Yes, mm-hmm. He is. You're right. He is a prosecutor from City Hunter. So him, he's also a prosecutor in this. And first off, he was the worst in the first season to me.
I watched the first two episodes of the first season and I did hate him.
Yeah. Well, he sucks. So you should hate him. But then by season two, it's like they're like cool with him. And I'm like, but I'm not cool with him. But then the main plot of season two is that he gets kidnapped. So then he's like missing for the vast majority of season two. And then I was confused. Like, why is his name so high? In the end, he was in like 4 episodes. But yeah, so poor dude. He did not get paid for most of that drama. But I guess he had free time. So that's nice. Anyway, moving on from that, come back.
We just take a moment talking about Peiduna to like begin to gird ourselves for her being in a drama with Kang Yu.
Yes, the best kind of girding.
Oh my god, I think we're gonna die.
Yeah, like, yeah, but it will be a sweet death. So
it's gonna have Netflix money too. Like,
oh, love that.
Well, because I looked up, it's like space-themed drama. I was like, K-dramas don't have money for space. I was like, is this a Netflix drama? And I was like, yeah.
Yep.
So
it was a Netflix drama. That's awesome. Other absolute worst drama that I do not recommend to anyone is When I Was the Prettiest. / When I Was the Most Beautiful. Like, the one that, like, the description...
already.
Yeah, the description of it already sounded like it was, like, a bad drama from, like, the late 90s or early 2000s. Chick, like, this student teacher, her student falls in love with her, but then she falls in love with his brother, marries his brother, but then his brother goes missing in an accident, and then it's been like 7 years. But guess what? Secretly, the brother is alive, and he's just been hiding out with his ex-girlfriend because he's too afraid to face his family because he can't walk anymore. Like, okay. Sure. It was horrible. It was a total waste of Jisoo and Im Soo-hyang. So I'm very, very deeply upset with this. The best thing I can say for it is I think the cinematography was really nice. Like, they really had some really pretty shots in that horrible drama. And obviously, Im Soo-hyang, you know, cries well. Jisoo cries well. Everyone cried a lot and did it really well. But I feel real bad for them. And I'm also now questioning their, like, teams. Like, I'm like, who agreed to this drama? Who thought this was a good idea? Because everyone's always, like, been waiting for Jisoo to be the male lead, you know?
Yeah.
He never gets that chance. And now this is like, his first one. Although, technically, My First Love was his first one, but it didn't seem like it because he wasn't with the girl for most of the time. Right?
Yeah, and that was, like, a weird...
Yeah, everything about that one was weird. But this one, he's definitely not with the girl most of the time because she's literally married to his brother. So, it's real awkward. Don't watch it. I don't know why you would. I'm sure you would have been smart enough to stay away from the very start. But I was like, I gotta do it for Im Soo-hyang.
It's because I don't watch any, like, Game Boys and Pearl Next Door were the only things I ever live watched.
Yeah.
Like, I don't live watch, so.
And that is wise of you. That is wise of you. Now, for the ones that are currently watching, I'll just say the ones I think are the best. Surprisingly, Zombie Detective is super cute. I would never have expected this. I only watched because my friend was begging me to watch with her, because she was currently watching at the time, and it was, like, it's really funny. Che Jin-hyuk wakes up as a zombie, right? Mm-hmm. And so then he's made a promise to himself that he's not going to eat people. He wants to be, like, a person. His goal is to just look like a person and blend in. So he's been working on blending in. And then meanwhile, this girl that has, like, the best team ever, because she just randomly appeared as, like, the second female lead in this drama called Piece of Your Mind that was, like, shortened and had, like, the super low ratings and whatever. And her character was just, like, blah in that. But then ever since then, she's just been in all these, like, super high, top-notch dramas, female leads all the time. She's going to be in that Mouse drama with Lee Seung-gi. So I'm like, damn, girl, who are you working with? They are doing wonders for you. But she's
and,
great too.
You know, call Jisoo and, like,
exactly, help him, please! Please help him!
Like, call them and be like, hey.
But yeah. So, she's the female lead. She's super adorable, like a flailing PD for a, like, true crime type show. That I don't know if it's got, either it's got low ratings, or I think what actually happens is that she has no money because she's constantly getting sued by people for exposing them. So she ends up working as, like, the assistant to Zombie Detective. And pretty early on, she figures out that he's a zombie. So they have to work together to stop him from being exposed, stop him from eating people, and then also figure out what actually happened to him. And in the meantime, she has to support, like, her whole family because, for whatever reason, her sister, who's, oh my god, I don't know if you know who her sister is, but she's, like, a really hilarious character actress that she always, her name is Huang Bora, the actress, and she always just shows up as, like, a random person. Like, I don't know what you have seen. Have you saw Touch Your Heart, right?
I'm gonna look at her up right now.
Okay.
Zombie Detective.
Huang Bora is the actress's name.
Oh yeah, her. She's in, like, everything.
Yeah, she's in, like, everything, but she's, like, always just, like, random or smaller roles. This is probably, like, the biggest role that I've seen her in consistently, other than Hyena. Well, actually, no, it's still bigger than Hyena, but whatever. She's just so funny.
In The Magistrate?
Okay, I haven't seen that one, so that's why. But she's so hilarious. I just love their, like, sisterly dynamic, and then also her poor, hapless husband that also can't make any money because he makes zombie movies where the zombies, basically warm body zombie movies that for some reason I guess people don't like, and I'm like, I would love them. So basically, he is writing a movie that is basically like Zombie Detective. And so then he feels a kinship with Zombie Detective because he's talking about how zombies are people. And the detective was like, yes, they are! Because he's a zombie! Anyway. And then their child. So it's just really funny. Like, fun family stuff. And then also a man who is a zombie. And then 18 Again, which I would never have expected to be as good as it is. Because it's literally just an adaptation of 17 Again. And I was like, well, 17 Again is a movie. And it's a pretty simple movie. and it's like an hour and 20 minutes long, so how are you gonna make a 16 episode drama out of it? Somehow, I'm 10 episodes in, and they have done it beautifully so far. So, 18 again. Ido Hyun.
Oh, who was, and you have like, you hate Yoon Sang-hyun.
I do! I know! Which is why I was like, oh god, I don't want this in my life. But they really managed to, and especially because he's like embittered ex-husband, right? Mm-hmm. Like they get divorced at the start of the drama because he's so embittered and like whatever. So I was like, oh god, it's going to be more of that acting that he always does, or those characters he always does. But it's not. It's like, instead, they, because so far, it's in the present day, it's the younger version of him, and they're not trying to make it a romance with her and the younger version. Instead, it'll be like she'll see younger version do something and then like remember when her husband was also awesome. And so then we'll get to see him be awesome as the older self, you know? So that's how like they're kind of working on like, oh, that's how it used to be and that's how it can be again or whatever. I'm glad that they're doing that instead of showing us like what all the reasons they would have eventually broken up. Because then I'm like, well, what am I rooting for? I feel like a lot of them do that. Like Familiar Wife and, like, I can't remember the name of the other one. That's basically Familiar Wife. Do you know what I'm talking about? Go back a couple. That's the one. Where I was like, I don't want these people together. But in this one, I'm like, yes, get back together. He's a nice boy. He'll be a nice boy again. So yeah, I'm really liking it. And they added, like, a lot more story for, like, the kids. Which is great, of course. Also, poor Lee Ja-hoon. I don't know how you say his name. Lee Ha-joon. He was also in Romance's Bonus Book, Matrimonial Chaos, Something in the Rain. Like, he's always the second male lead. He's always, like, the random dude who really likes Nunas.
Yes.
So, once again, he's in the exact same position, and I feel so bad for him, because he likes main girl so much, and I'm like, I'm so sorry, sir. And he, like, sees, he's like, she's such a great career woman, and also a great mom, and I want her to be a mom to my niece, because he adopted his niece, because his brother died, of course. And then I was like, I want that for you, too, but you can't have that, because he has to be with the guy. So I really hope they introduce a girl for him, because I love him. I just want him to be happy. So there you go. That's my story. Morning Glory. Those are the two that I would recommend of most of the dramas I'm watching now.
Gonna have to wait on eight. Well, I mean, I'm gonna wait for all of them. But
you're like, again, I will wait. Like,
I mean, it's generally how I do it. I don't like enjoy live watching. It's just exhausting to me.
Yeah.
Like, but it's funny because like I liked Yoon Sang-hyun well enough, but then you made me hate him, and now
I'm
you're
so
like,
sorry.
I don't trust it now. Like, wait. Like, if they hadn't done the weird, he has a crush on her in Shopping King Louie.
Oh God. Yeah.
Then I would have been okay with that, because then he's basically just like the grumpy guy who suddenly has these two admittedly ridiculous ducklings following him around. Like, that dynamic was really cute if they had just not done the like terrible love line of it. I think maybe I liked him in Secret Garden because I shared his disgust with everything that was happening.
Understandable. I definitely liked him more in Secret Garden than I did in Shopping King Louie. Shopping King Louie is definitely like the beginning of my like where I was like, no, I don't.
He was in a lot of like older dramas that I watched where I liked him well enough. Like he was in My Fair Lady, which like now I don't know that I would like it, but in like 2009 when I was watching it, it's just the age gap between him and Yoon and Hai is so huge. Then he was in Can't Lose, one of my very early K-drama OT3s he was in. And he's a little bit different in that one. It's like these divorce lawyers that themselves get a divorce in the first episode. And then, like, bicker their way back to each other.
Okay.
That was also good. I had, like, a better, like, feeling going into it. And then, but he was a dumbass that caused a lot of problems, and I hear your voice. like, Shopping King Louie. He was in Darius Behind Me? What? Oh, whatever. Secret Garden, he treated Ha-Joon-Won with respect.
Oh, good. Like she was. Yes, he did. That's true.
A being worthy of respect.
Yeah.
Which was apparently our bar with Secret Garden.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, his love line in Secret Garden was, like, a little bit, like, exhausting as well. But everything in love line.
Look, since the beginning, once I sense that there is a plot line going in a direction I know I'm not going to care, I will flat out skip it. So, like, rather than watching an episode on, like, double speed like you do, I just will skip the plot lines that I have decided are not for me. And so his, like, romance plot line in Secret Garden, I was like, I'm bored. Goodbye.
Understandable. Understandable.
Therefore. But yeah, I don't know. So I guess I'm watching Eternal Monarch right now. Like, I'm waiting to be pissed off. Although I'm like, I've turned my brain off when it comes to having any of the like magic explained sufficiently.
Right, right.
Happen. But I'm trying not to love the Prime Minister too much because it's clearly wanting to like is increasingly shoving her in that box. Because if Kim Eun-suk can write one female character well, that's all that she can do per episode, per
right,
show.
Right, yeah.
She can't handle, like, and sometimes she can't even handle writing one female character well, so, like.
Unfortunately true.
Visually, there's a few things that remind me both of W and Queen and Hyun's Man, so I'm offended, especially on Queen and Hyun's Man behalf. But. Mostly just because I'm defensive of it. I mean, that writer's gone off the rails too, so.
Right, right.
What can you? I don't remember what else I have been. I've not actually been watching as much. I don't know why I have not. I've been slow lately. I was trying to watch YYY, which is this like crack Taiwan, but I couldn't get into it. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't really been watching a lot else. I'm like looking at my list, but of course, when it's complete the list, like I don't know. Like I've got 200 plus dramas on here, so I don't remember what the recent ones were. Yeah, I'm gonna have to. There's a few that just debuted that I'm slightly curious about, but we'll wait until they've gone a little further.
Is what's one of them the one that's got?
It's Susie's in it, and
yes,
Kim Sun-ho.
Startup is in it. Startup is what it's called. I have seen the first four episodes of Startup.
I don't even know what it's about. I was looking, and I was like, "It's cast."
It's about people who want to be tech CEOs in their version of Google, which is called the Sandbox.
Okay.
Their version of Silicon Valley, which is called the Sandbox. But yeah, I mean, so Susie dreams of being a tech CEO. Her dad failed at it and then died. And her sister is Kang Hana, who I'm sorry, now we're just going to talk about this because I can't, like, my brain cannot compute it. Are you ready for this?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So listen. So because Susie and Kang Hana's dad was always, like, trying to make things happen with business and failing, and so then he didn't have money, and the mom was always complaining about how he doesn't have money and how he's a failure, etc. So they got divorced. And then mom is going to remarry. Like, first off, they got divorced and they each kept a child and then did not like see each other. So the mom did not hang out with the daughter and the dad did not hang out with the other daughter, and I was like, what the fuck? First off, already just no. And then they parent trapped it, and then the mom gets remarried to a really rich guy and they're moving to America, and she does not tell the family. It is the daughter, the elder daughter, who tells her sister that they're going. So they just go without talking to the family, and then the dad dies like less than a year after the mom leaves for America. Does she go back and get her daughter? No. Does she check on her daughter? No. There's literally nothing. And then 15 years later, and the sisters see each other again. And they're basically, like, so basically the whole story starts because Susie, the younger sister who stayed with the dad, wants to prove that she is happy she chose to stay with her father. And therefore she must become as successful as her sister or more successful than. And her sister became successful because of the stepdad, right? But I'm like, and then you've got the mom who regrets her second marriage because the husband's actually a piece of shit and apparently worries about Susie and wants her to be happy. And I'm like, well, you didn't think to call her in the last 15 years if you were worried? You didn't think to send her any money when her dad died and she didn't have an income and the grandma was supporting her all by herself? Like, are you kidding me right now? So I just can't, like, I have to not think about that when I'm watching the show. Otherwise, I can't enjoy it. Because the character, like, Kang Hana and her mom's characters don't make sense. Like, how can you exist in this world? You know what I mean? So yeah, but that's fine. The other half of it is Kim Son-ho is an actual successful startup person, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he's successful because, or not because, but he received help from, guess who? Susie's grandmother, back when he was Namdaroom. Why is Namdaroom not playing the male lead? I don't know. Why is the drama set up the way it is? I don't know. So the first episode is literally all, like 90%, Namdaroom and grandma. When he was younger and he was like staying in her restaurant because he was an orphan. He had nowhere to go. He only had this one check from some like coding thing he won. Right. So then mm-hmm. she helps him invest it, blah, blah, blah. Eventually, because he then makes literal investments, it becomes like millions of dollars. And so then she gives it to him. And he's like, oh, I'm going to pay you back for like having helped me in the first place one day. Right. But the mm-hmm. way that he pays her back at first is literally just writing letters to Susie. Because Susie is very sad. So Namdaroom, pretending to write letters, or not pretending, he's really writing letters to Susie with the grandma's help. But he pretends to be someone else. I don't know why. They're just like, we have to come up with a name, a fake name for this pen pal. I'm like, why can't it just be your real name? Why don't you just write her letters? This doesn't make sense. But okay. So then he comes up with his name because he saw some kid win some other tech award. So he's like, I'm going to use that name. Sounds like a good name. Then fast forward 15 years later, right? She needs to find that kid because that was her first love, A, and B, because that way she can hook up with him, tech startup world, and prove to her sister that she is, you know, successful. So instead of like the grandma is like, oh my God, we have to fix this, right? We have to find, like, we have to like present someone to her as that guy. Why don't you present this guy, Kim Son-ho, and say, oh, well, he used a different name because he was being a pen pal, you know? I don't understand why they don't do that. But no, instead, they're like, we have to find Nam Joo-hyuk, the actual kid with this name, and then have him pretend like he wrote the letters to Susie, etc. And have him pretend like he's successful right now. Because right now he's not successful. He and his friends are trying to have a startup, but they don't have progress yet, right? So yeah. Kim Son-ho, like, moves them into his office and, like, gives them all his shit and tells Nam Joo-hyuk what to say, like it's Cyrano, so that Nam Joo-hyuk can, like, convince Susie that he is who he says he is, and then together they can prove to the sister and the mom that they're doing great, I guess. And meanwhile, Kim Son-ho now suddenly loves Susie, even though he hasn't thought about her for 15 years. But then he saw that she was Susie, and he fell in love, because who wouldn't? But unfortunately, Nam Joo-hyuk also saw that she was Susie, and also fell in love, because who wouldn't? So that's uncomfortable now. They both love her, and they're both pretending to be the same person. Or they're both the same person to her. So there you go. That's the story.
So don't look for logic there. But maybe it'll just be fun.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's gonna be just like, so far it's really beautiful. Like, you know, it looks really great. The characters are fun. I'm loving Susie in it. I'm loving Kim. Kong Han is amazing in that she makes me care about her character, even though her character, as I have already said, is garbage. And there's no way she could exist in this world. And yet Kong Han makes her work. So that's great. But I'm just so sad because I'm like, how would you set this up and then have me not root for Kim Son-ho? You made him Namdaroom when he was younger. Why would you do that?
Oh no, because I love Kim Son-ho. He's
exactly.
Oh, I'm he's weak so for him. And now he only just, like, he goes back and forth between being a lead and not.
Yeah.
And those are even harder for me when they're supposedly playing the second lead in a drama. And I'm like, but why?
Right.
Like, last drama I saw you and you were the lead.
Yeah. And I totally get, like, sure, you cast Nam Joo-hyuk, so Nam Joo-hyuk's gonna be the lead. But then write the story so that Nam Joo-hyuk is the lead. Nam Joo-hyuk had literally one scene at the very end of the first episode.
It's weird.
So I'm like, you spent all episode making me love Namdaroom. I mean, I was obviously gonna love him. And connecting him to Kim Son-ho and showing how his life is affected by Susie's grandma. And how now he sees Susie and he loves Susie. And I'm like, I ship it! And then you're like, also, here's a scene of Nam Joo-hyuk. So, okay.
Yeah, see, I might not. I mean, I like Nam Joo-hyuk, but I don't know that I can go for a drama that's especially going to really make me want it with Kim Son-ho and then
right.
pivot.
That's the
issue. Did you ever watch Train?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How was Train?
I actually, considering that it's not a thing that I would normally like, I did end up liking it. I think that they probably handled the parallel world. It's because instead of they chose, okay, it's parallel worlds, it's not really time travel, right? Even though essentially it's working the same way as time travel would, it's parallel worlds. And they stuck to their rules, and they really made me care about saving main girl, right? Yeah. Who is gorgeous, by the way. I can't believe I didn't realize, like, I didn't notice her in my life before. You're Amber's impregnator.
Yunxian. I'm asking you specifically because of Yunxian. Yes.
Exactly. I was like, I just can't remember her name because I always call him your impregnator because I'm always talking about him to Amber. But yes, Yunxian. At first, I was like, okay, he's a little bit, you know, he overacts a little bit for this genre, but then he grew into the role, really, and then I was really feeling it. He was great at playing both parts, because there's, like, the kind of, like, shitty version of him in one world versus our version of him that we were rooting for, you know? So, yeah, he really, you know, everything came together. So by the end of it, I was definitely, romance-wise, which is what I live for, I didn't get as much as I wanted, but it served the story, and they had chemistry, even if the story didn't give them that much.
I mean, it might still be more than we got in his last drama.
Well, yeah. So, there you go.
So, that's why I watched Flower of Evil, which you knew because I talked to you about that.
Yes.
And I watched I did want to say about Mr. Hart, the thing that I appreciate, especially that they did, was the way the characters were on even footing at the end, and that, like, the one male guy, like, he actually called that out.
Right.
Specifically. Like, because especially this genre gets very, very slippery slope where they decide they take these already toxic traits in, like, het romance stories and then paste them into the BLs, and then it's even worse. Like, it's even worse because they're like, why are you, these are heteronormative traits to begin with. And, like, why are you doing this? And so they, but see, the Korean ones haven't done that yet because Where Your Eyes Linger didn't do that either.
Mm-hmm.
But then Mr. Hart specifically, like, vocalized it.
Right.
Which I very much appreciated. Like, that he was never even once. Maybe because it's such a short show, say, like, if this was a 16-episode drama, they might have had some episodes of him going off to be sad alone about it.
Mm-hmm.
But because it was as short as it was, there was, like, never a second where we saw him ever being sad that he lost, like, the race. Like,
yeah.
He was just immediately happy about it and stayed happy about it because, like, he didn't care.
Yeah.
He cared more that it meant that it always really bothered him. It seems like that is because, like, the one female character had told him, like, you need to figure out, like, what's wrong? Like, why you're not happy about this or why you're upset or, like, what it is that's bothering you about this confession of his. And it seems like what he arrived at was the sense that, like, Sang-ha had always put himself down as being the sidekick or the support or the whatever. And I was like, oh my god, this, like, I was just talking about Playful Kiss to my friend the other day. And so, like, it's just, like, connecting in my head.
Like, it's like, fixing this. Yeah. And I really enjoyed Mr. Hart. I thought that it was really sweet. It was like a fluffy, not alternative, but like a fluffy companion to once you've seen, you went through the angst that was like five of the episodes of Where Your Eyes Linger, and then Mr. Hart was like, oh, here, what if we had a show and a strip that was like five episodes of happiness and then just a little bit of angst.
I watched it right after Flower of Evil, because Flower of Evil did have, like, love, but then it just did that, like, why do kid dramas do this? Like, why do they, like, we're not going to fix the problem until the last 5 minutes, the last episode. And I'm like, you spent most of this episode tying up your other loose ends anyway. You could have done that with, like, happy family scenes in between.
True, true, true.
Like, there's literally no reason not to. And you still would have had your 16 episodes. You didn't need to put this in here for anything.
Right.
Because you didn't have enough story left that it wouldn't have just been a finale of nothing but just happy family scenes. Like, you would have had... It's just like they can't resist. Like,
yeah,
they're forced sometimes to, like, do the...
They definitely could have done the trial without the amnesia, you know, so this trial could still be part of it. But speaking of happy family scenes, there were so many family things I wanted. Like, I did want to see even grandma, she's not really grandma, but, you know, the mother of the actual serial killer man, to be able to connect with Hee-sung, but you know what I'm saying, with Lee Joon-gi and his daughter too, because they had, like, that moment earlier on where she was starting to, like, actually treat her like her actual granddaughter. So, like, I wanted to come back around to that.
I wanted to come back to like Lee Seung-gi's sister getting to bond with her niece, like,
yes,
and not
yes,
immediately
exactly.
Like, there was no reason for doing that to us, especially because earlier in the show they had made fun of that amnesia thing. Like,
yeah.
And then you're going to do it. And you're going to turn around and do it. It's just like the Enchanted movie. This starts off as a parody of Disney movies and then devolves into a stereotypical one. Like, you're going to have that one character lecture Amy Adams' character over not marrying this guy that she just met the night before, but then you guys spent a grand total of like 36 hours together, and now she's gonna leave her whole universe for you. Like, it's not really any better.
Right.
Same kind of a thing. Like, yeah. Why? But over, I mean, those two, like, finally in a drama that was worthy of them. Mm-hmm. Like, I just had so much fun watching him, like, think he was bad, but he wasn't really.
Yes.
Oh, she's just a badass. It's amazing.
We do love
her. Although I never felt that she kind of semi-confronted him over him, like, saying to his sister that he never loved her, but they never really talked it out. I was like, did he ever say why he said that to her? Like, why? Why when asked?
Because
he just thought...
At a later point, she says, she explains, or the sister says it's because he doesn't know what love is, right? Like, he doesn't know that the way that he behaves is love because he hasn't experienced it. And I think that that is, I don't remember if she actually says that to this, to Moon Chae-won, or if Moon Chae-won kind of says that to him in the scene where, like, she reveals that she knows. But there was
it with his sister. He's experienced love with his sister. He knows
exactly.
He does what
exactly.
With his sister.
Exactly. It doesn't make any sense because, of course, he knows it because of his sister. But I guess they're just, again, as usual, categorizing it as two different things, right? Romantic love versus
well, never,
familial
could,
love.
The idea is that they were raised by an evil dad, and so they could never experience love. But it's not romantic love with their child and their parents.
Exactly.
So even that part breaks down. Like, everybody has a first love. Like,
It's like, okay, sure.
But oh no, overall that was really good. It was just a little stressful sometimes. I knew I watched something. That's what I watched.
And but I really did love it. I really enjoyed Flower People, minus half of or 3/4 of the final episode.
That's usually why I just wait till they're done, because like there's certain things that's qualifiers for me, but then there are other things that I just want to know about in advance. Because I can be fine with that as long as I have my expectations adjusted. But it's like so many dramas start off so strong and then peter out. Like, to at least know that it's petered out, like, helps.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's very true. So I think that settles it. That covers our drama thoughts for the next few weeks, probably. And as always, you can check out news, reviews, other podcasts, eventually one day interviews at withanaccent.com, and check out the other episodes of the podcast at Pop a la Carte, Pop a la Carte Pod on Twitter, as well as anywhere that you check out podcasts. So thank you and farewell.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Farewell, dear.